how great it is to think about Jesus being with us in all of the good and bad and whatever we experience in our lives, and being with us right here this evening as we worship Him and His Father in heaven. I tell you what, being a Christian is a great life, and I hope that you are enjoying that even today and feel the privilege that it is to be here together to worship our God together. I'd like you to turn, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. And we're going to start reading in Proverbs chapter 1. I can't seem to get anything on the screen again tonight. Proverbs chapter 1, and I want to read starting in verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make my words known to you. In a wonderful way, in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is personified as a woman who's pleading with us to listen to her. Wisdom is, of course, the principal purpose of the book of Proverbs. If you look at chapter 1 and verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. That's why the whole book is written. And this very personal plea with God through inspiration, inspiring this figure of a woman pleading with us to listen to her, is in so many ways to me very moving. I hope it is to you as well. There aren't a lot of people in the world who really care that much about listening to wisdom. And I'm afraid, even as Christians, as we live our lives day by day, that we don't think enough about the wisdom that God has for us in His through and in His Word. And I just want to focus on the concept of wisdom calling out to us, pleading with us to listen to her, the reasons that we need to listen to her, and the consequences if we fail to do that. And much of that is going to be revealed to us in various passages in the book of Proverbs. I'm not going to be talking a lot about various practical applications of what we're talking about tonight about wisdom. I just want us to open our minds and hearts to the concept that God has wisdom for us, and we need to be seeking it, we need to be listening to it, accepting it, and applying it in our lives. And so, I've been talking about wisdom now for a couple of minutes, and first thing we need to do, I suppose, is define our terms. What is wisdom? What are we talking about when we talk about wisdom? Well, normally in a Bible class, when we ask that question, someone will say something like applied knowledge. And that's completely correct. Wisdom is the application of what you know to real life situations. When we just say applied knowledge, maybe we don't get the import of that. You can have knowledge about how, say, a car operates, all the workings of an internal combustion engine. But if you can't change your oil, you don't have any wisdom. Okay? Wisdom is the ability to apply that knowledge to something in a practical way. That's really what wisdom is all about. Wisdom, then, is skill in the art of living. Some of the scholars, if you go and look at definitions of the Hebrew and Greek words for wisdom, we'll talk about skill, the application of knowledge, the ability to do something. And today, in modern parlance, we'll hear about things like making good choices. Well, making good choices, what are we talking about when we talk about making good choices? Well, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. So those are some various ideas, but I think they get to the core of what wisdom is all about. Not only does wisdom implore us to listen to her there in Proverbs chapter 1, but if you go over to Proverbs chapter 8, and look with me there, in even a more extended metaphor, that the wise man pictures wisdom. And he says, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of a high hill. beside the way where the paths meet. You know, this is not something that's hidden. Let me just pause to say, wisdom is not, you know, whispering, listen to me, listen to me. Wisdom is not someplace where she just cannot be found or cannot be seen. She's basically screaming out to us to listen to her, to heed her words. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O man, I call. You, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips shall come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteousness, are with righteousness, and nothing crooked or perverse is in them. So here she is calling out to us clearly and plainly and telling us, walk in my ways and listen to my words, for my words are truth and my words are right and my words will direct you in the way that you need to go. Let's hear the voice of wisdom. That's what the book of Proverbs is really all about. Where may wisdom be obtained? If you ask the typical man on the street about that, probably the most common and frequent answer that you get is, well, wisdom can be obtained from our own experiences. And there is certainly some truth to that. And that's why, as a general rule, those who are older tend to have more wisdom than those who are younger because they've had more experiences. It's just as simple as that. Experience comes from what we have done. And wisdom comes from what we've done badly, somebody said. So we live long, we make a lot of mistakes, and we learn better from those mistakes. A number of years ago, an employee at NASA was assigned to prepare a presentation on the lessons learned from the bad experiences and the problems that had been encountered with the Hubble Space Telescope. Now, those of us who've been around a few years might remember the Hubble Space Telescope, when it was first put up into space, had some huge problems, among which, besides, you know, they spent millions of dollars on this thing. It's supposed to be able to take, pictures of deep space for it. And basically, put it in layman's terms, the camera was out of focus and you couldn't see anything. So that was all corrected after time. And of course, we've been getting great pictures. But this employees said, present a presentation about what we've learned from the mistakes that were made. And so he presented a presentation and the first point read this way: in naming your mission, the Hubble Space Telescope, in naming your mission, never use a word that rhymes with trouble. Well, that's one thing, I guess, that you could learn from that. We learn a lot of things, a lot of little things, a lot of big things from mistakes that we make. A lady, some of the good cooks we have here, probably weren't good cooks when they first started out. You think? If we talk to some of the husbands here about how those meals were the first year or so of marriage and ask how the cooking was. But I know that some of the ladies here who are fantastic cooks learned a lot by mistakes that they made. I won't tell a mistake or two that Sandy made when she was first learning to fix meals around our house. She made a couple. She learned from those and she's an excellent cook now. And there might be those of us who are men who've made mistakes in maybe trying to fix some plumbing at times and maybe trying to install a ceiling fan. I remember one time coming through the ceiling of our living room when I was trying to install a ceiling fan. And that was a mistake. You learn to walk on those beams. That's what they're up there for. Don't step on the ceiling part because you're going to come through. So I haven't made that mistake again. We learn from our mistakes. Insanity sometimes is defined as doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. That's insanity. Wisdom is learning from that mistake and not doing the same thing over and over again, but doing something different if you want a different result. And how many times in our lives does that apply? Think about your home life, your relationships with people, relationships between husbands and wives, parents and children. And we interact with someone in exactly the same way. It's like you could almost press a tape recording of how we interact with one another, and somehow we expect it's going to turn out different this time. It's not. Wisdom requires a coming to it from a different approach. But all of those things, we ought to be learning from our own experiences. It's not that hard, really. We just need to take time to think about that. Now, the book of Proverbs suggests that we do and should learn from experiences. We won't look at necessarily all the verses on that, but we can learn from observing not only ourselves, but also the experiences of others. It's been said that a wise man learns from the mistakes of others. Nobody lives long enough to make them all himself. So if you really want to be wise, don't count on, learning from all of your mistakes. You can't live long enough to make all of them. You're going to have to look at mistakes that others have made, things that others do, and by observation, learn from those things. Someone else said that a wise man learns by the experience of others, an ordinary man learns by his own experience, and a fool learns by nobody's experience. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. So the scriptures encourage us to gain wisdom from observation. You see this quite frequently in the book of Proverbs, and just to give you some examples, we can even observe not only one another, but we can observe animals. And you can go through the book of Proverbs and see how just by looking at what animals do, you can gain wisdom. Proverbs 6 and verse 6, watch the ant. Go to the ant. Go to the ant, it says in Proverbs 6 and verse 6, you sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise. Well, you can learn a lot, and I think I had some welcome slides about this a week or two ago. You can learn a lot just by watching animals. You can learn a lot by observing how people who don't have wisdom don't do so well in this world. Look at Proverbs 6 and verse, or rather 21 and verse 11. When the scoffer is punished, the simple is made wise. What's being said there? We've got a guy who's a scoffer. He doesn't listen to wisdom. He doesn't care about wisdom. And so as a consequence, he does things that are bad, that are unwise, that are foolish, and he receives the just punishment and consequences of his deeds, and a wise man can look at that and learn and receive instruction. One of the best teachers, and just maybe to get personal here for a minute, one of the best teachers that my two younger children had, maybe the best teacher that they had about right and wrong and wise choices in their lives, was their older brother, because he made so many mistakes. He made bad choices. And I'm talking about when they're little, they knew that they didn't want the spanking he was getting for doing that. So they learned. The wise man's saying the same thing here, isn't he? The scoffer is punished, the simple is made wise. In Proverbs 24, well-known passage here where the wise man says, I went by the field of a lazy man, by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns, its surface was covered with nettles, stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well, I looked on it and received instruction. So you look at the work and the livelihood of someone who's lazy, who doesn't devote himself to his work and what needs doing, and you see how unsuccessful he is and how dilapidated everything is, and you can learn from that. Learn not to make those same kind of mistakes. Over and over and over again, really, through the book of Proverbs and all of Scripture, we learn lessons that are taught by both the good things and the bad things that others do. We can't count the times, can we, that examples are held up to us in Scripture, both good and bad. Here's what Israel did in the wilderness, and they didn't enter into Canaan through unbelief. Don't do that, the Hebrew writer said. So you go over and over and over again, hundreds of examples. Learn, gain wisdom by observing the experiences of others. Now, when you're talking to the average man on the street, this would be about where the average man, the person who's not a Christian, would stop as far as where does wisdom come from and how do you get wisdom. They would have, you say, well, okay, you know, again, you walk up to the average man on the street, how do you get wisdom? Well, you know, from making mistakes, your own experiences, you get it that way. From watching others, you get it that way. From what granny said, you know, you get it that way. Where else? Where else do you get wisdom? Well, that's probably about where they'd stop. But if that's where we stop, we have yet to tap into the richest, most profitable vein of wisdom that there is, of course, and that is the wisdom of God. I want to read you something from Confucius. We don't quote Confucius very much, do we? But this is instructive, I think. Confucius said, by three methods, we learn wisdom. First, by reflection, which is noblest. Second, by imitation, which is easiest. And third, by experience, which is bitterest. Now, what Confucius said there is, again, what the average man on the street would say. You know what he left out? You know what Confucius didn't have? He didn't have a God to turn to for wisdom. Believers in God know that that's where the richest of wisdom resides. Superior wisdom comes from Him. Wisdom doesn't really begin with what you know, or even with what you know how to apply. It begins with knowing God. It's not what you know. It's not even what you know how to do. Wisdom is knowing God. That's where it starts. That's the beginning place. And until we know Him, then real wisdom, deep wisdom, eternal wisdom will not be ours. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17, Paul prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The spirit of wisdom is in the knowledge of God. Wisdom is His possession. If we look again in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 22, wisdom still pleading with us and explaining who she is and what she has to offer. Look at this in Proverbs 8:22. The Lord possessed me, wisdom speaking, the Lord possessed wisdom at the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there ever was an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth or the fields, or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When He drew a circle on the face of the deep. When He established the clouds above. When He strengthened the fountains of the deep. When He assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters could not transgress His command. When He marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was beside Him as a master craftsman, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in His inhabited world, and my delight is with the sons of men. Wisdom has been the constant and the eternal companion of God Almighty. From before the creation, from everlasting to everlasting, as long as God is God, which is everlasting to everlasting, wisdom has been right there as God's constant companion. Wisdom is the possession of God. And His word then, anytime He speaks, is the expression of wisdom. There used to be an old stockbroker firm, E.F. Hutton. Remember that one? That goes ways back, doesn't it? Young people won't know what we're talking about. But there were these commercials that are on TV for several years. You know, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. How are these people listening? You know, the whispers, E.F. Hutton says. That's where we need to be with God. His voice possesses wisdom, and every word spoken in His word, everything we hear from Him, whether it's shouted from the rooftop or just a whisper going by, is of eternal value and monumental importance. For it is wisdom that is gold. In Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6, the text says, "The Lord gives wisdom. from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And here's our problem. We're coming upon a choice in our lives. It may have moral implications, may have implications for our families. Maybe it relates to our job. Maybe it relates to a choice that we have to make at work. Maybe it relates to what we're going to do in our treatment of another human being. What do we do? Oh, we mull it over. We might ask advice from somebody we consider to be wise. We might think about what the most advantageous way of approaching this is for us. How many of us go here? What does God want me to do? What did He say? Wisdom belongs to God. Wisdom comes from His mouth. God's wisdom may be echoed, though, of course, in the words of preachers and parents and teachers. We understand that as well. So sometimes it might be good to go to somebody else if that person is going to point you to what God said. Not every preacher does, not every parent does, not every teacher does, but some do. And so in seeking wisdom, maybe that's a good thing to do if you pick the right person to go to. Over in the book of Ecclesiastes, I like this passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Solomon draws near the end of this book. He says in verse 9, "Moreover, because the preacher was wise," and so here's a wise preacher, "he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd." The key there, let's work backwards. Let's start with the last thing he said. They're given by one shepherd. Wisdom comes from God. Wisdom is His to give. And if any preacher has wisdom, it's because he's gotten it out of God's Word. Number one. Now let's work backwards from that. The words of preachers and scholars who have that kind of wisdom, he says they're like goads. You know what a goad is? Those of you who are raised on the farm, maybe you're trying to get a farm animal to go a certain way. I remember when we lived on Okinawa, we were driving down the road one time, and there was this pig. It was as big as a car. I mean, it was huge. It was almost as big as our car. Biggest pig I've ever seen. Of course, I was a kid, but it was a pig. It was a big pig. And there was a guy walking behind it alongside the road, and he had a stick. And he was controlling this ginormous pig with a stick. And if it ever tried to, come out in the road a little bit, he'd just jab it and go back the other way. If it wanted to stop a little bit, he'd jab it in the backside and then get it going again. That's what a goad is. A goad is that thing that jabs you, that keeps you in the right path, that makes you go in the right direction. The words of the wise, wise words of preachers are like those goads. Somebody, we come here and when you tell me after services are over, that really stepped on my toes, what I'm thinking is, that's good, Steve. You're doing your job. You're goading people. That's what you're supposed to be doing. The other thing is, in this passage, it says the words of wise preachers are like well-driven nails. I know some guys here are pretty handy at woodworking. I'm not. I've made a few things in my life. And several of the things that I made have fallen apart, because the nails weren't in the right places. But someone who is a good craftsman, knows how to join wood together, whether with a nail or other means of doing that, a well-driven nail holds stuff together, doesn't it? The words of the wise are like well-driven nails. Not only from preachers, but from parents as well. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding." Your parents are always, if they are walking in the Lord's way, they're a wealth of knowledge and wisdom for you. So when it says buy the truth and sell it not, we often use that passage to talk about our study of the Bible, but really in the context, what it's talking about is listening to your parents. Buy the truth and sell it not. Wisdom and instruction and understanding. And when you do that, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begats a wise child will delight in him. Sometimes your teachers, whether Bible class teachers or others, might have wisdom to share with you from God as well. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, Proverbs 15:7 says. Well, why do we need to hear? Why listen to the words of wisdom? Because we respect God. We've talked a lot already about respecting God tonight, haven't we? In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it starts. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom. So respecting God. Somebody says, well, I don't want to listen to what God has to say. I know what that Bible says, but I don't want to apply that. What you're doing when you say that is, I do not respect and honor the God of heaven. Listen. Listen to God. Respect Him. Why do you want wisdom? Because you respect who God is. And you're going to honor Him. Listen to the voice of wisdom because of the benefits of wisdom. If you look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 14, here again, her proceeds, talking about wisdom, her proceeds are better than the profits of silver. Her grain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. All the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand. In her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. All her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Sounds like wisdom has a lot to offer, doesn't it? A lot to offer when it comes to living a good and profitable and pleasant life. In chapter 4, starting in verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and all your understanding, get understanding, exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. Wisdom has so much to offer in the way of how can we live a wonderful life? How can we live a life that is pleasant and peaceful and that we're happy with ourselves and what we're doing? By listening to wisdom. By applying wisdom. Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. So we need to be open. Someone has said that wisdom is the quality that keeps you from getting into situations where you need it. Life's just a whole lot better when you don't get yourselves into those situations, isn't it? Doug Larson wrote that wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you would have preferred to talk. It's one thing I've noticed about correcting children. When they're moving their mouths, you can't correct them. You have to listen. You have to listen. What hinders us from listening? What hinders us from hearing wisdom? Just three quick things I'll share with you and the lesson will be yours. First of all, pride. Because we think we know. We think we don't need somebody else to show us the way. We know more than everybody else knows about how to run our lives. You hear that all the time, don't you? Don't tell me how to run my life. People don't want to hear how to run their life. And so they don't want to hear wisdom. Because wisdom is how to run your life. So people don't want to listen to that. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. Proverbs 11 and verse 2 says. Men and brethren, it's been said that you don't have to be listed in who's who to know what's what. And those that are listed in who's who won't listen to what's what a lot of times. Any fool can know. The point is to understand. Who said that? Albert Einstein. one thing to know something. Another thing to understand it and apply it. Israel's demise in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 29 was simply that they acted proudly. They refused to listen to God. They acted proudly and didn't hear what he was telling them. They thought they knew how to go. Same exact problem in our personal lives today. Pride is what hinders us from hearing wisdom. Selfish desires. I want to do what I want to do. And here's, those of us who are older, the older generation is always concerned with why the younger generation doesn't make wiser choices. Why you can't get the younger generation to listen to wisdom. And every generation that's come along, I think the answer to that is the younger generation wants to do what they want to do. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verses 30 and 31, I think that's indicated. Wisdom says concerning those who rejected her that they would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. What she's saying is they didn't wouldn't listen to me because they wanted what they wanted. They wanted their own fancies. They wanted to follow what their idea of fun was, what their idea of a good life was. The prodigal son had an idea of what a good life was, didn't he? I'm going to leave home and go live in the gutter. Ah, it sounds great. That's where he wound up. Wouldn't listen. At least that was the attitude. Lastly, what hinders us from hearing wisdom? Scoffing. And really that's a combination of both the pride and the selfish desires and some other things that we might talk about. But Proverbs 1 and verse 22, scorners delight in their scornings, fools hate knowledge. Proverbs 13 and verse 1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. You know what scoffing is? What is scoffing anyway? We don't use that word very much anymore. Scoffing. You know what I think, and this isn't a technical definition, but I can picture, you know, somebody's father telling them something, and they go, you know, like that, kind of halfway laughing. Scoffing is sort of somewhere between laughing and coughing. Scoffing. That's about what it is. Scoffing is you're told something and you just roll your eyes. You got it. That's scoffing. Scoffing is somebody with wisdom tells you what you need to be doing, whether it's God, a parent, whoever it might be. They walk out of the room and you start making fun of them. That's scoffing. Scoffer does not love the one who corrects him. Proverbs 15 and verse 12 says. Proverbs 21 and verse 24. A proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name. He acts with arrogant pride. When we act this way, what's going to happen? We're going to stray from the words of truth and from the right way. There are consequences to rejecting wisdom. Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. You're going to wind up going the wrong way. You're going to wind up hurting loved ones. He who begats a scoffer does so to his own sorrow. Can't think of the number of parents, several of whom in this room tonight, whose hearts have been broken by children who refuse to listen to wisdom. That's the consequence. More importantly, and most of all, scoffing hurts yourself. Refusing to listen to wisdom destroys your own soul. Let's look at what wisdom pleads with us concerning again in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 32. Listen to me, my children. For blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord, but he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. And those who hate me love death. Strong words. Last verse for tonight is Proverbs 4 and verse 11 and 12. Wisdom says to Solomon, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Wisdom gives us the path of life. Don't normally do this, but there's a paraphrased version of this particular verse, and a lot of paraphrased versions are not good to use, certainly not all of the time. This particular verse and this particular version, I think, really catches the sense of what this verse is saying. It's the Living Bible, and here's what it says. I would have you learn this great fact, that a life of doing right is the wisest life there is. If you live that kind of life, you will not limp or stumble as you run. What about it? Is that the kind of life we're living? Are we straying from the paths of wisdom? Maybe you are. Maybe you can correct that even this evening. How is it with you? If you're in need of responding to the Lord's invitation, making your life right, confessing a fault, there's no better time than now, of correcting your path, of opening your ears to wisdom that comes from God, maybe through His Word directly or from something the preacher has said or an elder has said or a Bible class teacher has said or a parent has said, and you realize really what they've said is truth and wisdom, and you need to have been open to it and you weren't. It's time to correct that right now. We'd ask you to come while we stand and while we stand.